Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, August the 21st. Do you make certain consumer choices because you believe they make the world a better place? Because they're better for the environment or for social justice reasons, or they're healthier for you and your family than others? What are they? Are there certain products that you simply won't buy because you know the planet or its people are hurt in the process? Are there certain products you love because they make our world a better place? We'd like to know. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest this hour will share with us how we can make better consumer choices that she discovered putting together her new book, The Virtuous Consumer. And I hope you will join in with your questions for her and your experiences trying to make eco-friendly decisions. Our guest is Leslie Garrett, an award-winning journalist. Her syndicated column, The Virtuous Consumer, runs monthly in several publications, including City Parent and About Families. She is the author of The Virtuous Consumer, Your Essential Guide to a Better, Kinder, Healthier World. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your definition of a virtuous consumer?
Well, my definition, I think it's something more and more of us are aspiring to be. Mm-hmm. But it's someone who really takes into account the impact that our purchases have on the planet, on the people who produce the items we buy, and on the personal the personal health of ourselves and our families.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think it's an oxymoron?
Well, I think it can be challenging to be a virtuous consumer. And as more and more of these sort of green products hit the market, I think it can be confusing. But no, we are consumers. Unless we are going to, you know, live in caves and subsist on grubs, we are consumers. But we can certainly shop smarter and shop in a way that has the least negative impact on the planet.
Yeah. You see, you don't have to make your own soap or not own a car or live off the grid to be a virtuous consumer.
I don't know. I don't. And I think a lot of us have felt that that's the only alternative. So you sort of skulk around, you know, feeling like this sinner. And I think it's self-defeating. You end up not doing as much as you could do simply because you can't do it all.
Yeah. And why did you write the book?
Well, I wrote the book. It's funny. I never really considered myself a consumer. Mm-hmm. I lived in a big city. I worked in publishing, so I just never had much of an income to be a consumer. And then I became a parent, and with kids, it just seemed like I was always off. At the mall buying something that they needed. And I started to really be conscious of what I was looking at and realize that, I mean, with a lot of kids' clothes, for example, I mean, it's great to get a good deal, but I would find myself thinking, how is it possible that these undershirts are, you know, $2.99 for a package of three? Well, it doesn't take too long to figure out, you know, that chances are they're being produced in under conditions where someone has not been paid a living wage. And so I came at it more from the social justice angle. I became very interested and concerned about sweatshop labor and child labor. And as a parent, really wanted to ensure that I wasn't complicit in that. So I started researching it. It was one of those things where I thought, I can't be the only person who's bothered by this. So I started researching it and realizing, certainly back when I started, that the answers were not as easy to come by. And it got the idea of doing the column, which has been picked up primarily by parenting publications in the United States, and became very, very aware quickly that companies that don't much care about their workers are equally cavalier about the environment. So the two really do go hand in hand.
Yeah. So did you find some underwear for your kids that are not made in sweatshops?
Well, it's very difficult. And In fact, the apparel industry is is quite a bit further behind many other sectors in terms of making change. And as the person I interviewed at Co-op America had said to me, she'd said, you can pretty much assume that the clothes on your back were made under pretty horrific conditions. Now we're seeing more and more, and thanks in large part to consumer pressure, companies like, The Gap has created a code of conduct for its manufacturing facilities. It's that are largely in China and developing countries, and they expect their manufacturers to subscribe to this code of conduct. Now they're being quite transparent about the fact that few of them are at this point, but because consumers were threatening boycotts and really giving The Gap a hard time, they developed this. So they're certainly moving in the right direction. And it's an example where I really want consumers to understand the power they have. And I think so many of us have lost sight of that companies want to give us the products that we can feel good about buying. So we need to let them know what it is that matters to us. And that, you know, that can be the environment. That can be worker rights and no child labor and things like that. So it can be a very heartening experience to realize the power we wield as consumers.
We're going to check our weather forecast. And then when we come back, I'm going to ask Leslie some of her favorite and not so favorite products. And we will talk about how we can make or at least consider making consumer choices that are better for the earth. And we're wondering if you do this already, if you have perhaps certain products that you avoid because of their impact, negative impact on the earth, or maybe those that you pick because of environmental or social justice reasons. Are you a virtuous consumer? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Plus, Leslie can probably answer any questions you might have about the best choices to make if you care about making the world a better, kinder, and healthier place. Leslie Garrett is the author of The Virtuous Consumer. 1-800-642-1234, our number to join in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you along on this Tuesday, August the 21st, just about 19 minutes past 6 o'clock right now. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Join Ben Marins this afternoon for At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. Kids entering college this fall have never listened to an 8-track tape, and tuna has always been dolphin safe. After 5, Ben and his guest will talk about the just-released Beloit College Mindset List for the class of 2011. That's At Issue with Ben Marins after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about making environmentally friendly consumer choices with our guest, Leslie Garrett, who is the author of the new book, The Virtuous Consumer, Your Essential Shopping Guide for a Better, Kinder, Healthier World. And Leslie can answer your questions about making eco-friendly shopping choices. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org and include your first name and your community with your email. We have open lines for you. Do you already do this kind of thing? Do you worry about where a product came from or its impact on the earth when you buy it? Are there certain products that you love or certain products that you hate? You can join in with those as well. Leslie, you do have a list of some of your favorite products here, and I thought it would be a way for us to kind of talk about the various areas that affect our lives. It says here your favorite or one of your favorite eco products is your bicycle in the summer and your new hybrid in the winter.
Yes.
Yeah. So you don't bicycle in the winter.
Well, I live north of Lake Erie, and south of Lake Huron, and the winds just get wicked.
Yeah. So, in fact, you're joining us from Canada, I understand, this morning. Well, thank you. So, but during the summertime, bike?
I do, and it's funny. I mean, I do it because it feels good. That's the other thing that that I find people don't often talk about in terms of making environmentally friendly choices. I think because it can't be scientifically measured. But frequently the choices result in just a sense of feeling really good. And, I mean, when you start walking or biking or rollerblading or whatever the case is, sure, you're having a much, much reduced effect on the planet, but you're also really improving your health and getting out and you know, breathing the air and enjoying the breeze. It feels good.
Mm-hmm. And why did you decide to get a hybrid?
We had an old minivan that was dying a slow, agonizing death. And we really, you know, agonized over what to buy. I have three small kids that are still in car seats, two large dogs. So we, you know, buying a tiny car was just not an option. So, but I really looked carefully at the, you know, different fuel efficiency, and the best choice for us from a fuel efficient standpoint was a hybrid. It was a Highlander hybrid. And I don't know how annoying I am driving it, because you have that little computer that tells you when you're on battery and when you're actually using gas. And I try to avoid using gas whenever I can.
So I understand it becomes a sort of a contest.
Well, it does, and it very quickly I think becomes an obsession, because you're so conscious anytime you're burning gas, which of course means it's costing you more money. And so I haven't wrapped it around a tree yet by staring at this little computer. But
oh, good.
I suspect I'm a bit of a menace.
Well, on the other hand, on the five products that make you crazy list, Hummer's number one.
It is. And, I mean, it's probably unfair of me because they're such an easy target. But I see them in my city frequently with one person in them. And, I mean, you could – it's the size of a Sherman tank. I mean, they're absolutely massive. And in fact, there was some talk in a sort of a tourist area north of Toronto of opening up some land where these Hummers could just kind of, you know, do off-road driving, but where it would be cordoned off so they couldn't do as much damage to the environment as they have been doing, because I guess they've just been off-roading. And it's things like that that you just think, have we lost our minds? Mm-hmm. They burn an enormous amount of gas. They're so unnecessary.
Now, the second item on your hate list, the products that make you crazy. Now I feel guilty. Swiffer's Pledge Wipes and other disposables. We get those Clorox wipes.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So what's wrong with that?
Well, they're frequently just infused with toxic chemicals. A lot of people don't realize that so much of what is in our cleaning supplies really are toxic. They're called volatile organic compounds, and they're frequently derived from petroleum. And on cleaning day, the American Lung Association did a study that revealed that on cleaning day, the indoor air pollution in our homes is hundreds, sometimes thousands of times worse than the air quality outside, which is really shocking. I mean, it's particularly for people that have asthma or that have, you know, breathing difficulties or environmental sensitivities. But we think we're doing a good thing. We're keeping our house clean. We're getting rid of, you know, germs and bacteria. But we're using products that are, in fact, making things worse. But the thing that drives me so crazy about the disposables is in 1 year, Americans will discard enough of these things to fill 9,000 18-wheelers. Mm. So that's how much garbage they generate. And most of us have old T-shirts or, you know, a pair of kids' pajamas or whatever that work just as well as a rag, and that can be tossed in the washing machine after. So it's the disposable aspect that makes me a little
right.
Sexy.
So what kind of what do you use to clean off the high chair table?
Well, it's funny because the other thing I frequently hear about shopping in a in a more virtuous manner is that it must be more expensive, and yet particularly with cleaning supplies, baking soda and vinegar, maybe borax, can be pretty much all you need. And it's so much cheaper than the cleaning supplies. But it's just, you can make a paste out of baking soda. And just, you can do your inside your oven, you can do your sinks, you can do your toilet bowls, you can do your bathtubs. You can pretty much do anything. And vinegar on windows works great. Now, I've been told that a lot of people think it doesn't work because after you've been using a commercial product, there's a lot of buildup on your windows.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're making the switch, put a tiny bit of just dish detergent in your spray bottle with your vinegar and your water, and that will get rid of the buildup, and then you can just go to a straight vinegar and water. And the other thing that's great about using things like baking soda and vinegar is you can give it to your kids. So my kids have this, fascination with spray bottles, as do most kids. You can give it to them knowing that it's not toxic for them. It's perfectly safe, and they can help you out.
Well, then on your list of products you love, your clothesline is number two. So we're still on that cleaning mode here.
So you
don't have to use the dryer for the energy used?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that my wipes frequently come off the line whiter. The sun does bleach out your whites, which is great. And the smell, you can't bottle that smell. It's just so great to climb into bed with sheets that have been line dried.
Yeah, but they're kind of stiff, aren't they?
My husband used to complain about his underwear. He used to say it's crunchy.
Yeah.
But a quarter cup of white vinegar, again, there's that vinegar again, in your rinse cycle softens. It just acts like a natural fabric softener, and it softens the clothes.
Well, I've just put vinegar on my shopping list.
Big jug.
Yeah, big jug of it. So how do you know, we only have a minute before a news break. So many products will green or some kind of claim that this is good for the environment. How do you know?
Well, you pretty much have to just ask yourself a few quick questions. What is the product made from? Something made from recycled materials is going to instantly be a greener choice than something that's from virgin materials. How long will it last? That's the big thing in our society. We throw things away with absolute abandon. And anything that you will get a good long life out of and that can have life when you're done with it, that you can either pass on to somebody else or lesser but still important, be able to recycle, is generally a green choice.
Yeah, let me hold you there, and we will continue after our news break from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Leslie Garrett, author of The Virtuous Consumer, your essential shopping guide for a better, kinder, healthier world. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, August the 21st, and we're finding out how to be a virtuous consumer this hour, and we're welcoming your questions for our guest who can help us decide how to make the best choices for the environment or the best products to buy from a social justice standpoint or something that is simply healthier for you or your family. And I'd love to know what consumer choices you make to make the world a better place. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And include your first name and your community with your email. How can we go shopping and not harm the planet or people in the process? Or at least, how can we make consumer choices that are easier on the earth than others? Well, our guest knows quite a bit about this. As she investigated it, she used her journalistic skills, Leslie Garrett, an award-winning journalist. Her syndicated column, The Virtuous Consumer, runs monthly in several publications, including City Parent and About Families. She is the author of The Virtuous Consumer, Your Essential Shopping Guide to a Better, Kinder, Healthier World. And Leslie Garrett, some calls are rolling in, I'm happy to report, but before we go to the phones, let me quickly go through some of your other products you love and products you hate from from an eco standpoint. You don't like water in plastic bottles. I guess a lot of us shouldn't be doing that, should we?
Well, there's certainly been an increased awareness in the last, say, 6 to 8 months. But, I mean, the water itself, 25% of what people are buying in these plastic bottles is just tap water. And most of us can turn on our taps and have perfectly safe water. So a smarter choice from an environmental perspective is to buy a reusable water bottle. 'Cause in fact, 1.5 million barrels of oil go into making water bottles for the U.S. market every year. So it's not just our cars that are addicted to oil.
Yeah. And Polly Pocket dolls, well, they've been in the news for another reason, maybe. They're part of that recall because of small parts and lead paint.
Yeah.
But why do you not like Polly Pocket dolls?
They're just plastic. They're just these little toxic creatures with plastic clothes and plastic furniture and plastic everything. And yet, I have two little girls who love these things, and they just make me crazy. So, yeah.
And it's not because of child labor, Chinese child labor?
No, that's certainly not that I'm aware of in association with that. But it's just the fact that our kids are surrounded by plastic. And plastic is, it's a petroleum product. And the toxins that are in a lot of plastics are just something I don't really want my kids to be exposed to, yet it's very difficult to get away from.
Yeah, so what are some of their favorite toys?
Well, they have a train set, a Brio train set, and Brio's a good, respected company, wooden train set that, I've got three children that they've all absolutely loved. IKEA frequently sells kids' wooden toys, you know, shape sorters and things like that, that you get a lot of mileage out. Very often it's the old standbys. Even Lego. My kids absolutely love Lego, and Lego has been PVC, polyvinyl chloride, is certainly the most toxic plastic. It's something you do not want around your kids, and yet there are kids' toys on the market that contain PVC. But Lego is one company that has been PVC-free for many, many, many years. So, and it's, you know, one of the old standbys that you know, the next generation can still be using the Lego.
Yeah.
So it's very often the toys we remember from being kids.
Yeah. It seems to me you wrote that your kids enjoyed laundry baskets and pots and pans, too.
Well, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Linda in Hales Corners. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My husband had mentioned recently that he would like to purchase toys that are not made in China, and I was just wondering if you had any suggestions, and I'll take the comments off the air.
Well, it's hard, and it's funny. I remember when my eldest child was learning to read, and she was about five, and of course they're reading street signs and cereal boxes and everything, and she looked at me one day. She was looking at a toy, and she said, "Mommy, why is everything made in China?" Mm-hmm. And it's true. It's very, very hard to get away from. But frequently it is looking for the companies, you know, the Brio, the Discovery Toys, that have things manufactured in North America, frequently from more natural materials. And even just, there's more coming on the market all the time. Even just doing a computer search of, you know, organic toys or eco-friendly toys, you'll come up with some really neat products that are on the market. you know, kids' stuffed toys that are made from organic materials and stuffed with non-toxic materials. Even things like the eyes of stuffed animals are frequently made of PVC plastic. So it can be difficult, but it can be done. The other thing is to buy secondhand. Now, with kids, you have to be careful that the toys are in good shape, you know, that nothing's going to come loose and become a choking hazard. But that is another way. It's sort of awful to say, but frequently much of the plastics have already off-gassed. So some other poor child has been breathing it in. Yeah. But it makes it that much safer for the next child.
Thanks to Linda for the call. Next is Donna in Green Bay. Hi, Donna.
Hi, good morning. Good
morning.
Yes, I wanted to share that I have been able to locate a lot of appliances. I have a beautiful 1950 Sunbeam Mixmaster in perfect condition. I think I paid $10 for it. Works like a gem. And microwave, pots and pans, General Electric waffle maker. Everything is, you know, in beautiful working order. They're all made in the U.S. We're using things that would otherwise have ended up in a landfill, probably. We just clean them up. The dishwasher works wonders.
Yeah, did you find them at rummage sales, Donna, or something like that?
Yeah. Rummage sales, garage sales, Goodwill. We started buying seconds when we lived in California. It's real big there. My daughter has been wearing resale clothing since she was an infant. And she loves it, you know, because she can mix and match her own style. We've been what we call adopting baby dolls that otherwise would be in a landfill. And most of these things are made in the U.S. as well. So,
yeah,
It's all out there. You just have to take a little time and look for it and spend some time cleaning it up.
Yeah, find the secondhand stuff. Leslie Garrett?
Yes.
Yeah. Want to further comment on the importance of finding?
Well, I think it is very important to reuse. I found a little end table that's in our basement that I garbage picked from our neighbors. It's an old Salada tea box, an old wooden tea box. It's gorgeous. So, but I mean, there are people that are uncomfortable with this. But if you look at it as sort of an adventure, you know, like a treasure hunt, you can find some really great things. My only comment in terms of appliances is that they have become so much more energy efficient in more recent years. So my hesitation with reusing appliances is that if you can afford new appliances and you need new appliances, the ones on the market now use a lot less energy. The dishwashers use a lot less water. So certainly from an energy efficiency standpoint, they're a better choice.
Yeah. We're going to check our weather forecast once again and then take more calls for our guest, Leslie Garrett, who is the author of the new book, The Virtuous Consumer, Your Essential Guide for a Better, Kinder, Healthier World. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If you have a question about picking the most eco-friendly or world-friendly products, give us a call. Maybe you have a certain product that or lifestyle choice that is virtuous. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We'd love for you to share it with us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, August the 21st. Coming up, we'll talk with a guest about a proposal in the state legislature to try to ban those drug ads, those pharmaceutical ads in Wisconsin. What do you think of that? That's coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking about making environmentally friendly consumer choices with our guest, Leslie Garrett, author of The Virtuous Consumer, And our next caller is Peter in Milwaukee. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I own five old houses that clustered together on a corner here in the central Milwaukee. But I've made a point, growing up a million years ago, with putting, you know, doing the laundry and putting drying out in the sun out on the line. So what I've done is at least to have hooks readily available. And then, I even have gone to the extent of running some of my own line just to encourage use of the clothesline rather than the clothes dryer. However, many of my tenants have grown up with such a mindset that it's almost like pulling teeth to get them get used to the concept of even thinking about hanging out on the line. So I'm still working on that issue, but at least to offer the opportunity to have the proper hooks in the right places will help that owners maybe ought to do.
No, that's good. What about this plastic packaging that you called about?
Now, I have the issue. I probably have just almost kind of completed exchange to the compact fluorescent bulbs. And at a little later date, I'm going to have to continually remind people when they start burning out or breaking, pass them back to me, and I'll get them recycled because of the mercury issue.
Right.
However, it's the over-packaging, the plastic with these compact fluorescents, and maybe, I mean, overall, of number three plastic is used all over the place with packaging. Is there, I mean, it's almost absurd here. I mean, I'm trying to save with electrical use, and here I got all this plastic that I'm forced to put into my cart, you know, the garbage carts. Now, we do the blue here on the corner pretty good.
Yeah.
But however, do you have any, or, you know, are there any clues as to how to make us calls to the manufacturers or the distributors or what to do about why cannot? What's so great about number three plastic? How about number one or number two?
Well, exactly. The number three, number six, and number seven plastics shouldn't be being produced because they can't be recycled at this point. And those little, you know, triangles with the three, six, and seven numbers in them are very misleading because mm-hmm. people assume that, you know, if you see that little recycling triangle, that means they can be. Now, packaging it's one of those issues that does make people pretty crazy, rightfully so, because it's just stuff is just so encased. Now, I've been told repeatedly by companies that because things are shipped frequently from so far away, that the packaging is necessary to avoid breakage. But I've also been told by companies that CEOs, I mean, they do read the emails. They certainly are aware of consumer discontent. So it's worth telling companies that you want change, that on the one hand, you want to buy their products, and this goes for everything. I mean, the compact fluorescence is a perfect example because I know what you mean. You have to practically get out a saw to mm-hmm. to get to the actual light bulb. But for any thing that you're uncomfortable with, whether it's the packaging or whether it's the, you know, the manufacturing process or where it's made, send letters. And with the internet, that's becoming increasingly easy to do, to track down addresses and so on. But let companies know, I want to spend my money on your products, but I want to feel good about it. And it's amazing how, as I said earlier in the show, the power that consumers do wield. And, you know, there's also the old strength in numbers. So, you know, if you can get petitions started and so on. Companies want to please us. They want our money.
Yeah. So are these energy-efficient bulbs a better choice, even though they have the mercury issue?
They are. They are. I mean, LED is probably the best choice, but with the exception of Christmas lights, they're not as widely available. But, yes, the compact fluorescents make a huge difference in terms of saving energy and reducing the toll we're taking on the grid. They just do need to be disposed of responsibly, and that's just something people need to understand.
Yeah.
It's not something they can just toss in their garbage.
Peter, thank you so much for the call. I'm wondering, Leslie, if the Oscar Mayer Lunchables on your five products that make you crazy list, if that's because of the packaging or something else?
Well, it's a number of things. Mm. It is the packaging. I mean, it's all disposable. That one is a particular bone of contention because my daughter is obsessed with them. Mm. So many of her friends bring them to school. She doesn't even like the food that's in them. Mm-hmm. It's just she likes the idea of them.
Yeah, it's and popular. It's cool or
whatever. It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the marketing. I mean, the marketing to kids is incredibly powerful, and it works. I hate to admit it. It really works. And I also don't like what's in these products. They're not healthy choices for kids.
Mm-hmm. You like to go organic as much as possible.
I do. Mm. I do. And that's another thing that people frequently say they can't afford to. But I found a nearby farmer, a local organic farmer. She delivers, which is wonderful. They're sort of reducing the time required for me to go off to the grocery store. And she delivers meat. She delivers my produce. And her prices are comparable to the grocery store. So, I mean, it can be done. People can buy in bulk. They can participate in community-supported agriculture where you're essentially buying a share in a local farm. And that all brings your cost down, yet you're still getting local organic food. Mm-hmm.
Next, we go to Chris in Milwaukee. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a concern about just the proliferance of disposable transitional furniture all made by particle board. I mean, besides the fact that, you know, it doesn't last long and that people actually do throw it away and just adds to waste, I've read a number of articles that that the woods used to, you know, that they chop up for the particles are actually precious hardwoods that are in, you know, come from far away and are just very rare and deplete the forests when they're being cut down to make these cheap tables and things from all sorts of places.
Yeah. Right. Well, as we were saying earlier, we've become a society that wants things cheap and, as a result, doesn't really place much value in them. I mean, if you've paid $19.99 for bookshelves, for example, you're not going to think too long and hard about tossing them a year and a half later when you no longer need them or when the shelf has broken or whatever. And we really need to think in terms of buying things that are going to last. But as you also pointed out, we need to think in terms of buying products that have been sourced responsibly. So where the wood has come from a sustainably managed forest. And there's a certification program in place with regards to wood products, and it's Forest Stewardship Council certified, FSC. It's fairly widely available. It's a certification you can trust. But we really need to think in terms of products that will last. And the other issue with a lot of the furniture made from particle board is the off-gassing. So a lot of us, you know, with young kids who need sort of that trend or think we need that transitional furniture, just things to sort of get them from, you know, the age of, you know, 0 to 4 or 5, we forget that a lot of those products are off-gassing in their bedrooms, those, you know, the cribs and the bookshelves and that sort of thing. So you can seal them with a zero VOC sealer, but it doesn't get away from the fact that you've bought a product that really isn't going to have a very long life. Mm. Secondhand for furniture is a great way to go, go to the flea markets and the antique markets and look for those, you know, those old pieces of furniture that have already stood the test of time.
Pete in Fond du Lac is with us. Hi, Pete.
Hi. Really simple. What I do is I do most of 90% of my laundry on the cold cycle, 100% cold. Turns out great. Keeps electric bill down.
All right. Thank you very much,
Pete. It's also better on your clothes. You'll find clothes last longer. They don't fade as quickly.
Yeah. Speaking of clothes, on your list of products you love is, organic cotton dress? I don't have it in front of me. What, you have a little black dress?
Yes, my little black dress, my organic cotton, sweatshop free. These clothes are becoming more available. American Apparel has pretty much made it its platform to be sweatshop free. And there are other companies that are organic cotton is becoming increasingly common. Bamboo. I bought my husband some bamboo socks, and bamboo is considered an eco-friendly fabric because it's such a fast-growing grass. Mm-hmm. And they're incredibly soft. You think of these things that they're going to be scratchy, or they're beautiful.
Yeah, there's two of my favorite things are the last two we haven't talked about, dark chocolate and some wine. You have to talk about why those are eco products you love.
Well, I think there's an attitude that to live green is sort of, it's oppressive. It means going without. And not always. I mean, chocolate, I think, should be one of the food groups. It's a staple.
Mm-hmm.
So, but good chocolate that you know has been purchased from a co-op or has been bought fair trade, so you know the people that produced it, that got it to your table, were treated fairly.
Yeah.
And wine. I mean, it's a good glass of wine is you know, can take the edge off. But organic wine, again, is mm-hmm. really coming on strong. It's had sort of a, you know, it suffered from bad PR, I think, in the past, that it's just, it has been considered not very
yeah.
good.
And Leslie, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Leslie Garrett, author of The Virtuous Consumer. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and to Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.